Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
We're at the Water Street Cafe in Plymouth this morning, ahead of tomorrow's election. We're hearing from voters and candidates in this bellwether town. To help us sort through all of what we've heard here this hour and what we've heard through in the final few weeks of this campaign are our political analysts, Dan Payne and Todd Dombke. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
What we're hearing from our reporters this morning is that supporters for Charlie Baker seem to be more enthusiastic than those for Deval Patrick. There's been a lot of talk about an enthusiasm gap nationally for Democrats. How much of that is it a worry for Patrick, Dan Payne?
Oh, about as much as the Patriots were worried about the Vikings yesterday, which is to say a little. Ever since Tim Cahill's running mate, Paul Lascoco, jumped ship and went over to Charlie Baker about a month ago, this race has been stalled. So crowds and balloons and signs are nice, but what matters is identifying your voters and having a well-tested mechanism to get them to the polls. But let's just say for the sake of argument that Baker's voters are more excited. Deval Patrick's campaign has more voters, and they are much better organized.
Todd Dombke, will excitement among Baker voters make a difference?
Well, it helps because Dan's right that Deval Patrick has the superior field organization. You know, they decided a long time ago, back when the polls showed him to be a likely loser, that they had better invest in money and people and time building a field organization to identify the vote and turn them out. Now, the question is, will that strategic decision pay off? Will they be able to convince unenthusiastic supporters to show up and vote? A great field organization might mean an extra 2 or 3% of the vote, but they need to be more effective than that because the attitude of a lot of voters is, when in doubt, vote them out.
Well, what do you make, what should we make, of the late campaign polls, which seem to show the race neck and neck now? Is Charlie Baker showing signs of 11th hour momentum? And if so, what's he doing differently, Todd?
Well, I think what looks like momentum is really a wave for Republicans generally going on across the nation and here, particularly for challengers. That's lifting Baker's boat as well. That wave of support is better than a campaign having its own momentum because a wave of support means voters not only turn out for you, they are turning on other voters for you. So, and I think particularly some voters are responding to Baker saying that Patrick will raise taxes to make up for the projected $2 billion shortfall. That late issue, I think, is triggering some enthusiasm for Baker in the end. Not for him personally, the way we saw with Scott Brown in January. And frankly, despite Baker's campaign, which has been rather ineffectual, but it's for change. There's a feeling of, you know, for changing governors. Some people are getting enthusiastic about the idea of voting Patrick out of office.
Dan, is Deval Patrick at risk of being swept out to sea by this wave that Todd's talking about?
Well, I'm not buying that the race has suddenly gotten close. It's been static for several weeks now. Over the weekend, Baker was so desperate he trotted out the old Republican canard of welfare abuse. He's claiming Deval Patrick is giving welfare cards to people who use them to buy booze and play the slots. We haven't heard this kind of nonsense since Ronald Reagan was making up stories about welfare queens. Frankly, I'm disappointed that a Harvard-educated business leader like Baker, who ran a major health insurance company and served at the highest levels of state government, would stoop to this kind of cheap trick.
Todd?
Well, I think the distinction on not just welfare, but on taxes, on spending, on the need to reform state government is now clearly known to voters. So I don't think it's, frankly, any last-minute ad that's going to make a difference. But I think a lot of people feel like the one risk they can't take is not voting for change. I think people are tired of the prospect that this stagnant economy just stays stagnant, and they're fed up with the idea that state government can't become more frugal as so many families are forced to be.
All right. On the change note, let's change horses here and look at some of the important congressional races in the state. We've been talking a lot about the 10th this morning. Any predictions who's going to take it? The Republican Jeff Perry, the Democrat Bill Keating. Dan?
This one's easy. Keating's going to win by a small but significant margin. Mitt Romney and Scott Brown can stitch themselves to Jeff Perry, but voters in that district have made a decision. They've decided that Perry, as the victim said, stood by while she, as a teenager, was humiliated and illegally strip-searched. When that young woman courageously came forward, it was crystal clear that Perry had witnessed a sex crime and covered it up.
Todd, your take.
Well, I do think Keating, the Democrat, the DA, will beat Perry. Perry's complicity and cover-up in the Wareham police scandal was too much for most voters. And that's why, frankly, not a single newspaper in the district has endorsed Perry. And it's why Charlie Baker treated him like a pariah when he went to his rally. But I think another factor will be the three independents on the ballot for Congress in that district. And that means a candidate could win with maybe 47% of the vote.
All right. Other congressional predictions quickly here. Will any of the incumbents in the all-Democratic delegation be touching up their resumes on Wednesday morning? Are any of them at risk of being out of a job, Dan?
I think all Democrats in the congressional delegation will win, some more easily than others. I'd subtract about 10 points from what every incumbent usually gets, and that'll be the margin. The incumbent who's in the toughest situation is Nikki Tsongas in the 5th District. She's only been in office for 3 years, and she hasn't had time to bring much bacon home. And the district is quite conservative, and the economy and immigration are big problems in the Merrimack Valley.
And Todd Domke.
Yes, I think two Democratic congressmen are at risk of losing. Nikki Tsongas, as Dan says, I think she'll lose to John Golnick, the Republican businessman. Scott Brown won that district with 56%. And even though Tsongas has greatly outspent Golnick, if this is a wave election where Republicans take perhaps 60 seats in the House, I think this will be one of them. And the 4th District could make huge national news, and with Sean Bilott beating Barney Frank. Bilott had money pouring in from around the country, like Scott Brown did in his upset victory. And if Bilott wins, there would be two reasons. Frank's ad agency in D.C. produced only boring ads, whereas Bilott had very creative and effective ads. And second, ironically, the congressman often praised for his wit failed to use any humor against Bilott, who wasn't afraid to use humor in his campaign.
Well, we'll know in about 24 hours which one of you is right. Republican Todd Domke, Democrat Dan Payne, thanks a lot.
Good to be with you.
So long.